Hello from New York. Welcome to the I Am The Code podcast. I am so excited to talk to you. I'm having a wonderful time in New York. I don't know if you've been listening to what's happening in the United States right now, but we are here to celebrate the United Nations General Assembly. I really hope you enjoyed part one. I loved talking to Charles. Right now, he's so busy hosting Global Citizens, a big event that gathered artists, you know, the creative industry to advance the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So I really hope that you're watching online and following all that is happening right now in Ghana. Charles and I talked about the Transformation Education Summit. We also talked about the Dare to Code campaign that I've launched here with my dear friend, Vasetana Kumalo. I'll tell you a little bit more about the Dare to Code campaign shortly. But overall, it was a wonderful week. We met so many, many people. I want to thank all of our partners, including PwC, Unilever, Facebook, now Meta. I mean, everyone gathered to support the I Am The Code Foundation. Also, I want to thank the Minister of ICT of Sierra Leone, you know, for coming and joining our campaign. Thank you, everyone. I am so grateful for your love, your support, and your kindness. This week has been challenging, but I think I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot as a human being, that no matter what people do, no matter what people say, you can do it. You have to carry on. Keep moving. Do not give up your ideals. Do not give up your values. You will be let down. People will disappoint you, but you have to carry on. You have to move on and never, never, never give up. As you can see, Charles Abani, he's not giving up. He's an amazing leader in Ghana right now, using his skills, his talent, his expertise, to advance humanity. My friend Vasetana Kumalo traveled all the way from South Africa to come here at the United Nations, help me launch the Dare to Code campaign. Young women and girls growing up all across the world must dare to go out there to learn how to code. You know, I want to encourage them to have the platform, the voice. I want to help them amplify their voices by using the I Am The Code digital platform. I want to thank the entire management team at Skillsoft who have been supporting us. I also want to thank the Deputy Secretary General Office, Amina Mohammed, who has been wonderful. We are so grateful to have her supporting so many organizations, including the I Am The Code movement. Well, I'm going to let you listen to Charles Abani. He is wonderful. I will talk to you in a moment, but I want you to know that each time you support I Am The Code, you are elevating young women and girls globally. Never, never forget that your support, your love, your kindness means so much to all of us at I Am The Code. And me right now talking to you all the way from New York is so, so wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. And I will see you on the other side. Well, boys and girls, I hope you are listening to my amazing guest. And this is so valuable for you. And I'm really proud that you are sitting down right now listening to this because it's so important. But let me go back a little bit to continue asking our guests. You know, one of the things, Charles, I also saw when I met you was the skills you have in communicating what you need to communicate in a very clear way. Can you just share with us what are the skills you feel you have that the boys and girls can learn from you?
So maybe I should introduce the concept that I believe that the three things that people need, and they are in this order. The first is knowledge. And this is why education is so important. Knowledge is the key. And so for young people who are saying, I don't need an education, I don't need knowledge to succeed, I have to say to you, we're moving into the fourth industrial revolution, which is the knowledge and information revolution. You have to have knowledge. And we will work to ensure you have knowledge. But knowledge alone is not sufficient. You also need networks. Otherwise, your knowledge goes nowhere. And so being able to build those networks and find the spaces in which you can connect your knowledge to someone else's knowledge is really important. If you have a network, but you have no knowledge, you will only go so far. And the third, I keep saying, is resilience. The capacity to understand that in life, not everything will work. That you will try and you will fail. And that you should learn from your failure sufficiently and have the depth to be able to then take that forward. So for me, knowledge, networks, and resilience are the key to success. In my work career, there are many times I have said many of the things that I say today, maybe not so well. I have learned through practice. And I know you want to know who is my guru. I don't have a guru per se, but I do have a number of mentors. And I tell you that learning from practice and practicing are the keys to articulating very clearly what you need to say and how you need to say it. And you will make many mistakes before you get that right. And so life is a learning journey. The more knowledge you acquire, the more networks you acquire, and the deeper your sense of self-resilience as an individual and a resilience to retain the belief that you have in the things that you think are important. These are the things that will see you through life, because we live in a very Instagram world today where everything appears to happen overnight, but actually nothing happens overnight. It's investment, it's practice, it's building a deep sense of knowledge and those networks to be able to succeed in driving forward what you do. And this comes in small pieces, and we must be mindful enough to pull them together in a way that actually expresses this experience collectively. I think this is the essence of the journey, because I keep saying life is a journey. It never ends until your life is over. You never know enough. In fact, Malcolm Gladwell, who is one of the gurus I read a lot, when he talks about the 10,000-hour rule, the 10,000-hour rule is that the more you know, the more you know what you don't know, not the other way around. And so the more you know, the more humble you should become, and the more aware you should be that actually you don't have the single solution to everything, that you must connect with others, you must use your knowledge in a networked way, and that success takes time. And to invest, have the staying power, which is resilience, till you are able to make it your story stick and your idea stick, and you will see the way through.
This is a lesson you are so lucky right now to listen to this man. He is giving you so much. But let me ask you a little bit more about when you talk about resilience. And you work with people who are resilient. And I was lucky to be with you last month to go and meet resilient people in Jamestown. And they will be the first boys and girls to learn how to code. And I saw you opening the computers. I can see in your eyes you love technology and innovation. How did you feel when you saw those boys and girls in Jamestown, which is such a rich place in Accra, but at the same time, challenging? But the boys and girls I met, they were so powerful. They want to make it, and they will be coding because of the partnership, you know, we are building with you and Ghana. Can you just share with our audience, how important is this moment for you?
First of all, Lady Marianne, let's understand that we all now know the importance of technology and the technological revolution that is in our faces here today. But we also know that this is largely owned by a few people in the West, and that we are consumers at best. And so building these skills and knowledge, building this capacity to be able to own ideas that come from our context, again, speaks to this unleashing of potential. So yes, you came along, you donated some computers, but those computers are just the tip of the iceberg of what you donated. What you gave was an opportunity for people to enter, fast-track their way into a digital economy that is defining all of our lives globally, that even makes this podcast possible, that makes so many things possible. And we are excluded from it. We don't own it. We don't drive it. The content on it is content supplied to us, often from a cultural perspective that is not respectful of Africa or its culture or the experience of those people. So my excitement is that your program gives people the power to create content, to drive, understand, and be part of this technological revolution that is happening around the world, not to be bystanders and consumers, but to be creators, owners, and in fact, launch a global brand or identity or space from nothingness and almost from nothing. And so it really speaks to one of the most transformative possible changes that we can make in the lives of young people. Their ability to demystify what technology means, to be able to actually see and gain control over their immediate environment, to see how they can make practical applications that solve local problems, to own and derive incomes from those solutions that they have created themselves. This is the stuff that I've been talking about when we talk about really unleashing people's potential or being a do-gooder. So of course you're a do-gooder, and I'm trying to describe the depths. And so when you say, I get it, of course I get it, because I see the hugely transformational impact that it can have on the lives of people on the day-to-day basis. So thank you. And you may feel that you are reaching 25, 30,000 people here in Ghana by the end of this program. But I think the impact and the exponential impact that can have on Ghana's economy, and when we take your program across the continent and multiply that impact, certainly the exponential impact will be 100 or even 1,000 times the million people that you reach. And so that gives us the true sense of why this is important and how what appears to be a small contribution can have such a catalytic and transformative impact on individuals, but also on Ghana's economy and Africa's position in a race that usually we are the last in the line and coming up behind, picking up the crumbs. We can use this to race to the front and actually define the future.
I want everyone to hear this because, you know, you came with an amazing, you know, more than 25 years of doing this, right? You understand what you're talking about, right? So I just want people to understand what you said is so important. Next week, we will talk about the GDP of Africa, you know, our economies. But we're not even talking about what you're talking about. It's so profound. I think every African should really listen to this podcast, and I'm going to make sure that everyone hear this. But I want to also go back a little bit on what you said about gender equality. You seem to be a very grounded person. You know, we need women to start developing applications and solutions for our continent. That's why we have these young women and girls. We want them to learn how to code, to contribute into the Africa digital economy. Why does gender equality matter to you that much?
Structurally, I mean, all human beings are born equal. And in Ghana, 50.7% of those people are women and girls. And yet when you look at our parliament in Ghana, only 14% of those making decisions that affect everybody's lives are women. If you look across various sectors of industry, women are largely excluded. Structurally, unless we support and enable women to take their rightful place as equal partners in the world, we are unlikely to change the structural inequality that sits in the system. Secondly, we have a lot of experience of male leadership and male-dominated leadership. And it has brought us many conflicts, many wars, not necessarily solutions to these global challenges of climate change, of inequality, of really the essence of how humanity itself grows. So unless and until we grow women to a place where they have equal amounts of say in these issues, I don't think that we will surmount some of the challenges. And so working to unblock that space, to create the opportunities for women, whether it's in skills or it's in terms of being able to represent the views of other women, I think unless we do this, we're not likely to see the kind of paradigm shift that we need to see in terms of solving global issues. This is why women's empowerment is really, really important. And it's not us who empower women. We create the space in which they empower themselves like you, and become leaders and are able to have their voices heard and influence change.
I know you're from Nigeria, but you live in Ghana right now. Where is home for you?
Ultimately, home for me is the African continent. I'm happy on the African continent. I'm also British. I travel to Britain frequently. My family live and work there. But I think my heart is on the continent. And I've always said to people whose headquarters are domiciled in Europe or America, find me a role where I can be, where I think I can have the most impact. Because until we change the narrative here and see the empowerment come from here, the change won't happen. So, of course, we all play different roles. But home is Africa. I have grown up a lot in Nigeria, and so my roots are there. But Ghana is equally a friendly place. They say Rwanda is the nation of 1,000 hills, and Ghana is the nation of 1,000 welcomes. And so I have felt very welcomed here in Ghana. I feel very much at home, and I have many good personal friends here and a country that is committed to bringing about change. So I think this is a great place to be to drive the kind of agenda that we want. that doesn't undermine the importance of people in the West, but it, you know, basically a lot of the homework has to be done on the continent. And that's why I'm committed.
I remember talking about this to another guest I had, that we need to build our continent, right? We have such an amazing intellect, people like you who have an experience for so many years. Of course, we are in the West, but also coming to Africa to build our continent. This podcast will change the life of people who really want to make a difference. So do you think we need to make more contribution into the African continent?
I think absolutely that Africa runs the risk of losing this fourth revolution unless the initiatives like the one you have are really embedded and taken to scale across the continent. The continent cannot be a continent of primary production and finished goods consumption. Ghana is a great place to be working on this, where even the government itself speaks to a very strong agenda of value addition and really being able to get full value for its products and services and the intellect that it brings to the globe. And I think in a digital world, unless we really embed this, then we will leave millions, if not more, behind on the continent and consign them to be mere consumers of other people's information, other people's knowledge and networks, when really we need to empower Africa and Africans to be able to lead that charge for themselves. So I Am the Code and initiatives like this are extremely powerful in leveling up the space and giving opportunity to young people. And for once, it is not your physical, muscular ability to get out there. It is your intellectual capacity. And on this one, men and women have the same intellectual capacity. So it's a great opportunity to actually level up the space for women in technology, and something that we must really focus on. Ghana recently did a study ahead of the Transforming Education Summit, which is coming up. And really talking about lifelong skills being really important. But the evidence suggests still that women and girls perform less well in STEM and all the kind of in TVET and all the technical skills. And so really pulling that up and building their confidence with initiatives like I Am the Code's initiative, that yes, women can, is such a powerful way to begin to change that narrative and to open up the spaces and opportunities. So I think technology is a great opportunity. We can sit here and describe it as a great problem for the continent. There's no access, but unless we start to build that, which is exactly what you're doing, and hopefully we're working in partnership with you to scale, and it's led by the government of Ghana, then I think the future will be bleak. I think Ghana gets this, and at the Transforming Education Summit, there will be a strong statement on the importance of TVET, in the importance of STEM, the importance of all the technical skills and really lifelong learning, and a commitment to build the skills for the future that Ghana wants to aspire to be and will end up being.
You also talk about sustainable development goals. You love the SDGs. And I was watching one of your videos yesterday where you were talking about how do you align this, not just in Ghana only, but also across Africa. For the young people and boys in our audience who don't understand what the SDGs are, why they're important, can you just tell us why we should all go behind them and include coding, Charles?
So the Sustainable Development Goals really is the global agreement about really the bottom line of where everybody in the world should be and aspire to be if we want a harmonious planet that is taking care of those five P's: planet, people, prosperity, peace. You know, across those five P's, we have to think, what are the things that are actually going to lead Africa and Africans and poor people to achieve that? And what are the things that are likely to exclude them? And I think technology cuts across all of this. There are two things. And this morning, I attended and spoke at the Ghana SDG Investment Summit. And I said, two myths we have to bust. The first is that green transformations are for business only, that there must be green of everything. Right? And the second myth that we must bust is that technology is important for absolutely everything we do, whether it's economic or social or accountability, transparency and accountability related. And therefore, these two things have to find their way. They are almost the underpinnings, the foundations upon which we build the sustainable development goals. We cannot have zero poverty unless we have climate-friendly poverty. We cannot end up with smart cities unless we have green and climate-friendly cities, but also technology driving those cities. The future of smart cities must be created by people, and we can't have those created for us. If Ghana is to play its role in achieving the Sustainable Development Goals, it must invest equally in all of those, particularly those game changers. And I think technology is a game changer that will enable African countries to leapfrog out of underdevelopment and into a more developed space. And so making sure that we make that equitable, that we ensure that all constituencies, women, persons with disability, young people who find themselves completely frustrated on the continent, whether they're visually impaired or even a learning disability, we find that some of the best people working in this space, quote unquote, were deemed before to have learning difficulties. And actually, they are the game changers in this space. And so how do we ensure that all these people have an opportunity and that we've leveled this up significantly? Because this will help us to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. And we know that some of the best solutions have come from the most unlikely places. And so whether it's a refugee camp, an IDP camp, a slum somewhere, there is no evidence to support the idea that the solutions cannot come from those places. And technology enables us to reach all of those places at once and for those very transformative catalytic ideas to come to the fore quickly. So I believe that this is an underpinning for achieving the Sustainable Development Goals as we move forward.
One of the things we will be doing at the Transformation Education Summit is to share this podcast, but at the same time, just talk about what you just mentioned, which is really making sure that we are inclusive. We must be inclusive and mean inclusivity. When I met you, I remember you showing me your business card. And within your business card, you said to me, actually, I think your team should do something like this for you because on your business card is Braille. So I was very impressed with that. It means that when I come to your office in Ghana, you give me your business card. It's not just me coming to your office, but actually, if I was a blind woman, I could read it. You know, so that was really, really important. So as we are here at the summit talking about all this information, any message you want to send me away with to share with everyone?
So as I've said earlier, I think until we become more inclusive, we will not be able to realize the Sustainable Development Goals. Education and transforming education is a critical way in which we can achieve the SDGs. We can achieve that through the knowledge that we impart, the way in which we transform the relevance of what we're teaching, of what people are learning to make sure that those skills and competencies are the best skills and competencies to make young people in the developing world fit for a future in which technology has a big space. Excluding technology from that means that we will not achieve it. But we must look at the ways in which we ensure that all groups are included, that we're leveling up the disadvantage that women and girls have faced over many years, that we are leveling up the opportunities for persons with disability, that we are ensuring that groups that have been left behind because they are migrants, because they live in IDP camps, because they live in refugee camps, that they are focused in on. Those furthest left behind are where we can make this transformation happen in an equitable way. And so if anything comes out of this summit, it is a focus on relevant skills and knowledge that will build a future economy that is climate resilient and inclusive, but also that all the groups that make up the world or any community are included in that, in those learning opportunities and given the chance to thrive and create the livelihoods and society that they themselves aspire to.
Ooh, that's amazing. Well, I'm hoping all the colleagues are listening to this now. So one of the other thing I think we have not touched on, Charles, is your business background. You're now bringing this into this role. But we have so many businesses across Africa. Actually, in fact, we're going to meet some of them here in New York. Any advice you have for businesses? Because right now we have a skills shortage, you know, mentoring, support, creation of jobs. What advice do you have? Now you're putting your business hat on.
The first lesson that we must all learn now is that sustainable development will not happen just because of governments. It will happen because of the partnership between government, between citizens and civil society, and more importantly, and we're realizing this now, the private sector. If the private sector is playing a role towards the sustainable delivery of the SDGs and the 2030 agenda, then I think we stand a sense of sustainability. So what is sustainability? For me, it's that without me, communities can deliver their own change in a way that is meaningful to them. For me, it means that we can achieve scale, that more and more people can have sustainable livelihoods, not dependent on handouts, not dependent on people propping them up, and that our role is to be like a scaffolding around the building to enable the building to stand, rather than to be the building on behalf of those who need the help. So sustainability is also about the skills that we're imparting, the knowledge that we're imparting, the networks and opportunities that we create for those individuals to be able to thrive, and the ability for them to connect with each other and be able to drive this change. So I think when people think about access to finance, yes, finance can come, but unless finance meets a really great opportunity that is able to do this, then it will fail. And even sometimes when we meet great individuals whose businesses can grow, unless their businesses have social impact built into them, they're unlikely to be sustainable. All we'll do is add to the few thousand people who are billionaires in the world, but not change the world. What we need in sustainable terms is zero hunger, as the SDG says. There is no poverty, that these things don't exist anymore. So we must begin to think not just in terms of us as individuals, but systemically and systematically, how are we elevating significant numbers of people out of their state of dependence into a state of independence? And how does it not rely just on me to keep doing it, but I am creating a machine that can self-replicate and reach scale, whether that is through the government or through the private sector or through individual citizens taking action by themselves.
I remember you also talking about vision, like long-term vision. One of the things that I think is attractive, the proposition of I Am The Code is a long-term vision. It's all the way to 2030. We have 80 years to go. We do short-term things, right? So how do we make sure that we are doing long-term things? A young girl who will be born today will be 80 years old in 2030. How do you make sure we're doing long-term things, not short-term things? Any advice you have for businesses who are looking to start a business right now or invest in businesses? We need something long-term, you know, something more sustainable, right? What do we need to do with that, Charles?
There's a whole set of things that are required. And again, this morning, we had the privilege of being in a conversation around the SDG Investment Fair for Ghana, looking at those, particularly this morning, looking at businesses integrating green transformation, digital transformation into their work. And the truth is that, of course, we won't achieve this overnight. And the key thing I say to governments is you must create an enabling environment within which this can happen and be sustained. If businesses have to deal with volatile exchange rates, with macroeconomic and fiscal issues, then clearly their businesses will be buffered and buffeted. If global prices keep changing for their goods and services, then they will not be able to get a return on investment and grow. So the first thing that we need is a stable set of enabling environments, which government has a responsibility and a duty to create. And then I think the second thing that we need is businesses that are driven by passion and intent, not just for money, and that are really based around building skills and competencies of their employees, creating a vision in which they become wealthier because everybody else becomes wealthier, rather than that they extract that wealth and move away and that community collapses. And I think, you know, peace. We don't get a lot of an opportunity to discuss peace. Globally, I think we have as much conflict, if not more conflict, than we've ever had before in the world. This is a destabilizing element for businesses across the world. It's not safe in the sub-region. And even if you said, well, I'm not in the immediate Sahel where we see the rise of violent extremism, the impacts of the Russia-Ukraine war on food prices, on fuel prices, will have an impact on you, will have an impact on your businesses. And so nobody can escape this global context. And so a recommitment through the United Nations, by all nations, to a peaceful world, one in which we listen to each other, one in which we have more tolerance and capacity to hear each other's perspectives and to accommodate them in what I can only describe as a win-win, where everybody wins. These are the if you like, the foundational blocks, the cornerstone upon which we can build a new world in which we have sustainable lifestyles, where consumption and production is mindful and sustainable, where our oceans are not overfished, where life on land is one in which we don't destroy our environment and biodiversity, and where we can rely on institutions to deliver justice for all at all times. These, again, without touching SDG 1 through 17, this is the core essence of what the Sustainable Development Goals represent. Opportunity for all, a chance for everybody to live an amazing life. And in those moments of adversity, a collective spirit of multilateralism, of collaboration, of solidarity, that means that those who are not able to help themselves, we find ways to help them out of adversity, but also we don't make them dependent in doing so. We create the opportunity for them to stay out of adversity. The president of Ghana describes this very well when he says, we don't want a handout, we want a hand up.
I know we talked about humility and you are very grateful for the work you are doing. But what are you really grateful for?
I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for opportunity. And I'm grateful for the fact that in my own small way, I feel like I am able to have the privilege to work across the board in different organizations where I can influence and have an impact on lives of ordinary people across the world. And so I often say my whole life, I'm grateful. And as I said, when we talk about adversity, I'm also grateful for my own personal experiences of adversity. I was once a refugee, because those experiences are what accumulate to give one a sense of passion, a sense of drive, and a sense of confidence to go out and try and make that contribution. Of course, we're all grateful to God.
Well, Charles, Paul, Abani, it is my absolute honor to have you on this podcast. I'm so happy that, I will not end 2022 without, having met someone who's so incredible and so knowledgeable. And I call you now my mentor, if you allow me. I'm so happy for the boys and girls listening to this podcast. I Am The Code is all about that. We try to create content that can make people be better and feel better. So I'm hoping that when you're listening to these boys and girls in Kakuma Refugee Camp in Kenya this Saturday and next week, I hope that, what Charles have said here will change something. Maybe you can go into 2023 with some ideas, relevance. How do you make sure boys and girls have the skills they need? We need to change the life of our people. And I'm happy that Charles is now my friend, my partner, my mentor. Charles, thank you so much. Honestly, thank you for coming on the I Am The Code podcast. We're very honored to have you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lady Mariam. My privilege, and I really appreciate this. And one last piece that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for I Am The Code and the work that you're doing across the continent. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a wonderful conversation I had with Charles. He's so amazing. I've learned so much from this guy. It's really unbelievable. I'm truly honored to have met him recently in Ghana. I'm glad his voice is being heard all across the United Nations today, because this is such an important day for us to launch our Dare to Code campaign, also to have someone like Charles motivating, mobilizing, talking to boys and girls across the world, but also business leaders who are right now present in Ghana celebrating with the Global Citizen Concert. So everyone listening in Ghana, enjoy the conversation, but also enjoy the concert. Go out there and make a difference. One of my learning this week in New York is this: no matter what people do, no matter what people say, do not let anyone distract you. People can be really mean, they can be horrible, they can let you down, they can use you, they can do things that is absolutely outrageous. But never forget who you are. Never forget your values, never forget where you're coming from. Your generosity will be abused, people will take advantage of you. Of course, this is human nature, but people make choices. What I've learned this week is let people make their own choices. Let them make their own mistakes. You cannot control what people do, but you can control how you react to it. You are a good human being. Keep doing what you have to do and let people make their own choices. If you have not yet seen the I Am The Code e-learning platforms, I recommend you go out there and check it out. It's the best platform out there for you to learn how to code. You must dare to code. I'm giving you courage and power to go out there to dare to code. Please don't forget to subscribe to the I Am The Code podcast and kindly share it. I'm going to be making more podcasts in the next coming week for you to learn and get the information in your heart. I'm so passionate about this podcast. That's why I want to share this podcast with you all the way in New York. We are a very small team at I Am The Code, totally dedicated to making the world a better place by creating inspiring content for people who want to do better and be better. Remember, you can do better and you can be better by having integrity, by being honest, by being kind, compassionate, and have empathy. Amplify your voices. Do not let anyone stop you being who you need to be. Do not let people reduce you at their level. You carry on being a good person. You carry on helping people. You carry on being kind, being compassionate, and let people make their own choices. The word choice is absolutely my word for the week. Thank you for your devotion. Thank you for your kindness and for your love. Be a force for good. Go out there and make a difference. Listen to Charles again, again, again. We have so many wonderful people on the I Am The God podcast. I recommend you go and listen to Bilao. Listen to many people. Amina Mohammed, Nomza Momata, Basetana Kumalo. So many wonderful human beings came to the I Am The God podcast. I recommend for you to take your time to go out there and listen to these people. I want to thank you again for your time all the way from New York. I am so honored to actually do this podcast here in New York in front of the United Nations. Thank you for your love, your kindness, and your support. I will see you next week. In the meantime, do not forget to take care of yourself and go out there and be a force for good. Thank you so much. Have a lovely weekend and goodbye.